From the day that Moses began to defend the cause of the oppressed Hebrew nation, his life changed dramatically. Israelite by birth, adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, raised in the splendor and luxury of the royal court, and trained for high office, he had been an influential Egyptian prince up to the age of 40, when he had to flee the country. Then he became a shepherd, tending the sheep of Jethro, his father-in-law, a Midianite priest and tribal chief. It was the beginning of a new period of preparation for the future deliverer of Israel. Far from the polytheistic influence of Egypt, God was going to complete his training in view of the great ministry to which he was called. This second stage of his life also lasted 40 years. Moses spent his time alone in the desert, leading his flock from one pasture to another, and sleeping in the open air. In the hot, dry climate of the wilderness there was little grass, and shepherds had to lead their flocks over great distances to find fodder for their sheep. When summer drew near, Moses would travel northwards, to the higher ground of Mount Sinai, where water and pasture lands were more abundant. This rough, lonely, nomadic life taught him to survive in the desert. He endured the harshness of the climate and experienced the dangers of these vast wilderness stretches. He became well acquainted with the desert, its roots and meager resources, and the life of its inhabitants. At the same time, Moses began to learn more about the Lord, the God of his fathers. The vast expanses of the wilderness and the solitary life must have encouraged prayer and meditation, and he would certainly have experienced the providential and protecting care of his God. At the end of this long, lonely time of training, Moses, now 80 years of age, saw something very strange. A bush was on fire, but it did not burn up. He had led the flock to the far side of the desert, and had come to a mountain called Horeb, in the Sinai Peninsula. And there his attention was drawn by a bush that was burning, but was not consumed. So Moses thought, "I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up." When God saw that he had gone over to look, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within the bush, and called, "Moses, Moses." He replied, "Here am I." The voice said, "Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses was astonished and afraid. There, at Mount Horeb in the wilderness, the Lord was present and was speaking to him. God had not spoken to a man for centuries. The last time was when the Lord had appeared to his forefather Jacob on the way down to Egypt, some 430 years before. Moses took off his sandals and hid his face, because he was afraid to look at the Lord. Then God announced that he had seen the misery of his people in Egypt, and had heard their cries. "I am concerned about their suffering," he said, "and have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a place flowing with milk and honey. I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them, and the cry of the Israelites has reached me. Now go," said the Lord. "I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." On hearing these words, Moses was even more afraid. The Pharaoh who had tried to kill him was dead, but the circumstances of the people of Israel had not changed. They were still slaves, cruelly treated and forced to do hard labor. The Egyptians needed the Israelites to build their cities and work in their fields. They would not be willing to let them go. Moses was well aware that 40 years had passed since he left Egypt, and even if he did return, he no longer had any power or influence at court. No one would listen to him. He was only a shepherd. What God told him to do seemed impossible, and Moses was taken aback. He had lost all confidence in himself, so he tried to evade the issue. Not daring to say an outright no to Almighty God, he thought of every reason possible for refusing the mission. But one by one the Lord silenced his objections. Next episode, The First Miraculous Signs.